You could be right and I could be wrong. We could just fight and we could be strong. You could be right and I could be wrong. We could just fight and we could be strong.
This is Bridge the Gap with Mark and Dave, the program that seeks for the truth no matter where it is found. I'm Mark.
And I'm David.
Here's something that some people will accept, but others still are not comfortable with.
What is it?
First, I'm going to start with a quote from Ezra Taft Benson that changed my whole view on this when I read it several years ago. It was in an article called The Civic Standards for the Faithful Saints in 1972. It says, Joseph Smith said that the Book of Mormon was the keystone of our religion and the most correct book on earth. This most correct book on earth states that the downfall of two great American civilizations came as a result of secret conspiracies. Now, undoubtedly, Moroni could have pointed out many factors that led to the destruction of the people, but notice how he singled out the secret combinations. Just as the church today could point out many threats to peace, prosperity, and the spread of God's work, but it has singled out the greatest threat as the godless conspiracy. There is no conspiracy theory in the Book of Mormon. It is conspiracy fact. Ezra Taft Benson said that in 1972. Do you think that what he said is true?
The church today has pointed that out?
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
Yep, he's saying that.
Mm-hmm.
There is no conspiracy theory in the Book of Mormon. It is conspiracy fact. In fact, Moroni talks about it very specifically. Should we read that verse?
Yep.
It's in Ether chapter 8, verse 24. This is Moroni speaking about our day. It says, wherefore the Lord commandeth you, when ye shall see these things come among you, that ye shall awake to a sense of your awful situation, because of this secret combination which shall be among you. Moroni is saying, when you see these things come among you, secret combinations, awake to a sense of your awful situation. Warning, wake up.
And what's he talking about, do you think?
Well, first, before we talk about what he's talking about, let's talk about whether or not it's debatable, whether it will happen. He says, wherefore the Lord commandeth you, when ye shall see these things come among you. Not if, but when. It's not something that we can stop. It's gonna happen. We need to see when these things happen. Because when they do, we need to wake to an awful sense of our situation. So what are they? He says, because of the secret combination which shall be among you. People that are secretly combined, that are aligned with Satan, are at the heart of this. We talked about finding the hidden things of darkness. Secret combinations are at the root of what we're talking about. If we're looking for hidden things of darkness, this is it in spades. And he goes on to talk about how it's going to get above us. I want to read 3 Nephi chapter 16, verse 10. Think about secret combinations as I read this. And thus commandeth the Father that I should say unto you, at that day, when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel. Did he say, if the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel?
When?
He said, when they will do this. Who are the Gentiles?
Us.
We are in that category. More specifically, America. We can get into why that is the case. But America, the Gentiles, and they will sin against my gospel. What is my gospel? It's still being restored. President Nelson said the restoration is still in progress. So what version of my gospel are we talking about? My gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is still being restored. It's his gospel. The Gentiles will sin against it. Not they might, they will. Are you going to be one of those Gentiles? How would you avoid becoming one of those Gentiles?
What do you think he's talking about in terms of what sin against it in what way? The million of different ways?
Okay, to keep it simple, I don't want to overthink this. You said that you're a Gentile, right? And 3 Nephi chapter 16, verse 10 says, the Gentiles will sin against my gospel. So how do you not sin against his gospel? Are you predestined to sin against his gospel? Because you just called yourself a Gentile. And the prophecy of our day is that the Gentiles will sin against my gospel. You do have an escape hatch here. You know what it is. You don't have to sin against his gospel. You can be converted. And you can become a member of the house of Israel. Be adopted into his family and no longer be numbered among the Gentiles. This is the only way out. And those who don't will be numbered among the Gentiles. It goes on to say, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations and above all the people of the whole world. So here we are talking about the Gentiles who sin against my gospel. They shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts. You can avoid that. Above all nations, you can avoid that. And above all the people of the whole earth, you can avoid that too. But those who sin against my gospel will be guilty of those charges and shall be filled with all manner of lyings, deceits, mischiefs, and all manner of hypocrisy, and even murders, and priestcrafts, and whoredoms, and of secret abominations. And if, now this isn't when, but if they, who are they? The Gentiles, shall do all those things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel. Behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel that's still being restored from among them. So this is something that we have to look forward to in our future. Will that restoration of the gospel that's still taking place be taken from among you? Or will you be one that receives it? Where do you stand? Where is your heart? What have you been convinced of? Why do you go to church?
I don't know. No, that's what we all should ask ourselves, right?
We should. We need to be honest and true to ourselves. Why does anyone go to church? Why does anyone believe what they believe? Why does anyone do what they do? You don't have to answer. And
to be honest, I feel like I do that stuff because I feel like I have a role to play in God's army. And I don't know exactly what, but I just feel it and trying to figure that out.
You're following your heart. The word is in you, and the Holy Ghost is bearing the truthfulness of that word to you. Follow your gut. Your gut is the Holy Ghost, just in case you didn't know that. And it is telling you who you are, what you signed up for before the foundations of this world, and is reminding you of that. Follow your gut. That's why you're here. That's why you're doing what you do. Because you feel motivated. Nobody's putting a gun to your head making you do this podcast. Mm-hmm. You're doing it because it's what you want. Mm-hmm. It's what you're passionate about. It's what you believe from the bottom of your heart. Mm-hmm. Now, I shouldn't be saying that because I'm not who you are, but I'm sitting across from you right now. and I know how passionate you feel.
Right.
And it doesn't just come because your parents are twisting your arm and making you do this.
Right.
You could be doing anything you want right now.
Yeah.
But you choose to do this.
Right.
This is tough. This is hard.
Yeah.
We're addressing some difficult things, doing some serious soul searching. And that's what you're spending your free time doing?
Yeah.
Your discretionary.
How weird is that?
Time. How weird is that?
No, yeah. Last night I had a really interesting experience, which maybe it's for another time, but just remembering who I am, like who I was on my mission, and how that was like the first time I've ever like really known who I was, because the drugs and alcohol got me from 15, which is when you kind of start to 18, and then I didn't know who I was at all. And but then on the mission, I was reading through my mission journals, and I was just like, wow, that guy, he was like, like,
that's a different guy than you are now. Or
no, I used to think so. I used to think that, like, but now I'm remembering that no, I am. That's who I am. And like, that guy was just always working hard, always optimistic, always trying his best, always like, it's crazy. Like, I was reading what other missionaries were writing about me and like thanking me for and all this stuff. And it's just like, I was just, and it's because I was so on the Lord's errand at that point. Mm-hmm. Got home from my mission and I took my will back. And it's like, oh, it's my life or whatever. I don't know. And then got into like, anyways, but now it's like, I want to get back to that point because that's me when I'm just like doing his work, and it's, and then
that's really exciting to hear. Yeah. You know, it just says a lot about who you are fundamentally. Did you know that Moroni saw you in a vision? He saw our day and he saw the Gentiles and he saw our people, and I'm going to read to you what he saw. But before I read it, I want you to think. Do you think he just saw the general masses? Or do you think that he saw David more? Or do you think that he didn't see anything? It's just all made up.
Yeah, let me hear it.
Moroni chapter 8, 35 through 37. Behold, I speak unto you as if you were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ has shown you unto me, and I know your doing. I know that you do walk in the pride of your hearts. Ouch! At what point have we all mm-hmm. been guilty of that? Mm-hmm. He doesn't hold any punches, does he? Mm-hmm. And there are none save a few only who do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts. Do you think he was looking at you when he said a few only?
I'm trying to be part of that group.
I say, well, it depends on the year mm-hmm. that he looked at. He was looking at me. I've been on both sides of that fence. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying really hard to not be on the wrong side of that fence. Mm-hmm. But he sees us. Moroni saw us. Jesus Christ sees us. God the Father sees us. Do you think the Holy Ghost is aware of everything that we're doing? Mm-hmm. I think so. So he goes on to say, I know that you do walk in the pride of your hearts, and there are none save a few only who do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts unto the wearing of fine apparel, unto envying and strifes and malice and persecutions and all manner of iniquities, and your churches, yea, even every one, have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts. Everyone. There might be a few members in the congregations of the churches who are not walking in the pride of their hearts, but there are no churches. Everyone. Does that mean everyone except for one? Does it say, yea, everyone except for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts? Mm-hmm. No, it says everyone. That would include the church that you go to. There are people in your congregation that are polluted because of the pride of their hearts. Are you that person? I think we're all good people, and we just have to recognize who we are. Last verse. For behold, ye do love money and your substance and your fine apparel and the adorning of your churches more than you love the poor and the needy and the sick and the afflicted. Who is he talking to? Lord, is it I? Of course, it's the other people. I'm not guilty of that. Or am I? Continuing on, this is Mormon 8, 40 through 41. Yea, why do you build up your secret abominations to get gain? Why are you doing this? You know? And cause that the widow should mourn before the Lord, and also orphans to mourn before the Lord. That reminds me of a scripture in Isaiah, by the way. And also the blood of their fathers and their husbands to cry unto the Lord from the ground for vengeance upon your heads. Behold, the sword of vengeance hangeth over you, and the time soon cometh that he avengeth the blood of the saints upon you, for he will not suffer their cries any longer. I'm sure that's them, right? Now, we've been talking about hidden things of darkness. We've been talking about what DNC 123 says about hidden things of darkness. Now I want to go back and read verse 13 of DNC 123 after we just read this scripture. So DNC 123, 13, therefore, that we should waste and wear out our lives to bring to light all the hidden things of darkness wherein we know them, and they are truly manifest from heaven. Did we just manifest some hidden things of darkness? Because it was manifest to us from Moroni in the Book of Mormon, because he saw our day.
I'm feeling so much internally. Like, so much.
We'll talk about what you're feeling inside.
So not holding back anything back?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this will never get published right here?
You don't have to say it if you don't want to.
No, I do, because I just... So I opened up to Miriam today. So last night, like, dude, there's this. So I think I'm a really pure-hearted person, but addiction hit me hard, and it like really makes you the opposite. It makes you so carnal and selfish and everything. And then I went on my mission. And that carnal and selfish stuff was like it got put on pause.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm telling you, like I was reading the journal. So as a missionary, my mission, like after you work with someone or you're in the MTC with them or whatever, they wrote in your journal, like, you know, hey, like, good luck. Thank you. Blah, blah, blah. And just like journal after journal after journal, like I remember who I was back then. And it was just like all like, it was just. I was literally on fire, like literally the whole entire time. So excited about the work. So excited to not be under the spell of addiction and selfish. And like, and but I mean, there's still selfishness. But anyways, and then got back from the mission. And then the addiction stuff came again. And it just like, has been trying to destroy me. And then now that I'm getting healthy again for the first mm-hmm. time, this is outside of the mission field, so it's different. But I'm remembering, like, addiction twisted my brain, not only like when the addiction hits, but then it makes you think that like I say, oh, I'm such a prideful person. And it's like, no, I'm not. And I believe that lie that I am, or like, I'm such a selfish person. No, I'm not. I have acted like that for many times, years of my life, but I'm remembering that like who I am, I'm not. And I'm not going to like let Satan tell me that I am that. Like I used to think like, oh, it's so hard to like not be prideful. It's so hard not to be selfish. And it's like, no, because I myself am not. I'm remembering that I'm not. And like, it feels good to say that again. And it mm-hmm. feels good to like believe that and remember that person but there's times that I've been so prideful and so selfish that it makes me quiver. Like, oh my gosh. And it makes me, it's just crazy, the contradiction. Like, and Miriam knows it more than anyone in the world.
I think you're speaking the truth when you say you're not that person. You've been behaving like somebody who you're not. Mm-hmm. But that isn't who you are.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not who you were, are, or will be.
Right.
Because we're eternal beings living in eternity. You have condescended into this creation. I have no idea where you came from before the foundations of this world. But you are truly a noble and great one. You're part of the Lord's royal family. You have royal, eternal, spiritual DNA coursing through your veins. Mm-hmm. It's a part of who you are, were, and always will be. Stay true to who you are, your royalty. You were put on this earth at this particular time, this place, under these circumstances, to help bring all the rest of the Lord's family back home with you.
And in what way should I do that? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Who tells you?
The Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yeah.
If you feel inspired to do this podcast, Holy Ghost told you to do it. Mm-hmm. Those who are listening to this podcast are being drawn here by the power of the Holy Ghost. This podcast is not for everyone. This podcast is to gather the elect from the four corners of the earth, to assemble and bring as many others of the elect home as are willing to come. That is the purpose of this podcast, and that's why you're here.
That's it for this episode of Bridge the Gap.
Truth seekers,